I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I'm not going to any more events where Trump's at him. I don't feel safe. Wherever Donald Trump
is. Chaos follows him.
Chaos follows him. And you are less safe, right? If you decide to go into his orbit, you have become less safe. He does not care about your safety. He's not going to protect you if you go into his orbit, because he's always going to protect himself first. He's more likely to throw you under the bus. He's more likely to have you be the target of Iranian assassins, if you're John Bolton or Mike Pompeo. And he's going to pull any sort of federal support.
That is the ridiculous statement of Chuck Todd. Chuck Todd of NBC. Currently the 12th moderator of the NBC Meet the Press, which used to be a legitimate program decades ago. Now has become a machine of the left to try to destroy not just Trump, not just MAGA Republicans, but Americans. And Chuck Todd is saying, I'm afraid to go to a Trump event anymore. I might be shot. No kidding. I thought according to Roseanne Barr, this thing the other day was a fake flag, just simply trying to get more attention for Trump. As some have also said about the Butler, Pennsylvania shooting, where Trump took a hit to the ear and a man was killed in the stands behind him. And they were also claiming, well, that was all staged. And here's Chuck Todd now trying to say, I don't feel safe going to a Trump event. What is he trying to do? Is he trying to talk Trump supporters and others out of being at such events? Or is he trying to point out to you that if something happens, it's all Trump's fault? Trump's fault. Dismiss our rhetoric and what we've been saying over the past 11 years about Trump and everything we tried to do to destroy him. Forget all of that. You go to one of these events, you might be hurt by someone trying to kill Trump. And then Todd says, and he will throw you under the bus. He'll do nothing to protect you. How does this idiot... I came so close to going over the edge there. Putting our license in jeopardy. Let me phrase it in a polite fashion. How does this idiot continue to breathe? How's that? All right, well, we've got a lot to cover today. Welcome to Larry Connors USA, hour number one, April 29, 2026. And reminding you, we're here every Monday through Friday for you from 6 to 8 p.m. Program note for you. Friday, we will be on at noon to 2, and a replay at 6 to 8. But Friday, we will be on at noon to 2, so you can catch us earlier in the day. Jamie Allman is taking a break off, a break that day, so no 3 martini lunch on Friday, but Larry Connors USA. And if you miss that, then, of course, we will still be playing again at 6 to 8. And remember, with Larry Connors USA, you're always going to get news, analysis, opinion, and education. You will leave this hour with more knowledge than you have right now. And that is true of every hour. Special note for you, put this on your calendar, June 2nd. We, along with the Hammond Institute for Free Enterprise at Lindenwood University, will be hosting a debate between the candidates for the St. Charles County executive race. That'll be Tuesday, June 2nd at 7 p.m. at Lindenwood University. It will also be carried live that night, so on that particular date, Larry Connors USA will air only 1 hour because we will be carrying the event, which starts technically at 7 o'clock. If you can be there, you certainly should be. Cost you nothing, but you need to let us know you're going to be coming. Go to Newstalk STL for more details. Newstalk STL, and put it on your calendar right now. The debate between current county executive of St. Charles County, Steve Ellman, and former Missouri State Senator Bill Engel, and Jason Law, former mayor of Lake St. Louis, current lieutenant colonel with the St. Louis County Police Department. Again, June 2nd. In our next hour, the Supreme Court issued a ruling yesterday regarding voting. And some are already crying, this is foul, this is going to hurt us. No, we got some answers for that. And also in the next hour, you're going to hear from a woman who's with a group who has a mission, with a mission to reverse a homeless crisis in community within 5 years. That's a big mission. Can it be accomplished? And how? That's in our next hour. And later this hour, Dr. Fauci might be on the verge of being indicted on some federal charges because some of his staff is beginning to try to throw him under the bus. We'll get into that and the story behind the story today. The 1992 LA riots, which happened after the verdict came down on the Rodney King case. Rodney King beaten by several LA police officers, and the verdict did not go the way many in the community wanted. That's coming up later in this hour. And then, of course, we also have an indictment that's been delivered against former director, FBI Director James Comey, an indictment for the second time, Acting Attorney General Blanche.
Today, a grand jury sitting in the Eastern District of North Carolina returned an indictment against James Comey on two counts. The first count is that on or about May 15th of last year, he knowingly and willfully making a threat to take the life of and to inflict bodily harm upon the President of the United States. Count two, same day, May 15th, 2025, that the defendant, James Comey, knowingly and willfully transmitting in interstate commerce a communication that contained a threat to kill the President of the United States. Both of these counts carry a maximum term of imprisonment of 10 years. So I think it's fair to say that threatening the life of anybody is dangerous and potentially a crime. Threatening the life of the President of the United States will never be tolerated by the Department of Justice.
Well, it would be if the President's a Democrat and they had a Democrat cabinet and prosecution AG, as they did previously with mealy-mouth Merrick Garland. What exactly is the crime in this case? I'm going to tell you right here, I have some issues with this case as it's being brought. This focuses on James Comey and his wife on a walk on a beach, supposedly came across, unbeknown to them, they had nothing to do with it, washed their hands of it, some seashells arranged on the beach stating 8647. Those four numbers. And supposedly Comey said, what's that mean? His wife said, I don't know. Maybe you should take a picture of it. Let others know. See if they know. This guy was a former FBI director. He does not know that one, the number 86 refers to cancel if you're in the restaurant business, but it also refers on a higher level to kill, assassinate, get rid of. And the 47 refers to Trump as the 47th president. Well, I don't know. I just found them. I did nothing to them. And what do you guys think? And so that's what he transmitted on his Instagram account. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to have a hard time seeing that as a clear threat to kill the president, which is what the basis is for this indictment. And Comey's response is, well, they're back. This time about a picture of seashells on the North Carolina beach a year ago. This won't be the end of it. Well, that's probably true. And he said, but nothing has changed. I'm still innocent. I'm still not afraid. And I hate to admit that in this case, I'm going to have to decide with Comey that this charge probably should not stand up. The previous prosecution against him was for allegedly lying to Congress, but the case dismissed after a judge determined the prosecutor who brought it, a former personal lawyer to Trump with no previous prosecuting experience, was unlawfully appointed. The Department of Justice has appealed that ruling. But once again, Acting AG Blanche on this latest indictment.
Over the past year, this department has charged dozens of cases involving threats against all sorts of individuals. We take these seriously, every single one of them. For example, just today in the Northern District of Florida, there was a guilty plea from an individual who threatened multiple political leaders, including President Trump. In the Eastern District of North Carolina, where this case was indicted earlier today, there are multiple threats cases very similar to this one, including one where the defendant pled guilty recently to threatening former President Biden, another one that's scheduled to go to trial this summer, another one indicted, an individual was indicted for threatening Tom Homan. I say that to say that while this case is unique and this indictment stands out because of the name of the defendant, his alleged conduct is the same kind of conduct that we will never tolerate and that we will always investigate and regularly prosecute.
Well, I'm glad we will always investigate. And I don't like the fact that Comey probably staged this event. I don't like it at all. But then you're going to have to explain to me, if someone in graffiti writes on a brick wall somewhere, kill President Trump. They just spray it on the wall. You're looking at First Amendment rights. You don't like it. Is that serious threat or not? Or just somebody going wacko? Of course, a lot of wackos end up trying to kill the president, as we've been seeing more and more lately. I'm not going to fall in line with the fact that this indictment is solid. I'm sorry. I cannot do that. There are no sacred cows on this program. And I know I might be upsetting some of you by saying that. Do I want to see Comey prosecuted? I do, but on charges that can legitimately stand. I'm not sure this one can. And of course, keep in mind, we have the leftists constantly harping about the death of Trump and Jimmy Kimmel's remarks the other night that, look at Melania, she looks like an expectant widow. Now, he made his remarks before the attempted shooting at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. But I want to take you back in time when Reagan was president, right after he had been shot outside that very hotel where the attempt was made on Trump and other staff members the other night, and Johnny Carson was hosting the Academy Awards. Here's what he said when they did open the program.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sure that all of you here and most of you watching tonight understand why we delayed this program for 24 hours. Because of the incredible events of yesterday, that old adage, the show must go on, seemed relatively unimportant. The Academy, ABC Television, and all of us connected with the show felt because of the uncertain outcome, as of this time yesterday, it would have been inappropriate to stage a celebration. But the news today is very good, as you know. The president is in excellent condition at last reports. He's been conducting business. And he happens to be in very good spirits. After all, you must remember this is a man who yesterday, while he was in the hospital unable to speak, wrote on a sheet of paper, "All things considered, I'd rather be in Philadelphia." So tonight the show does go on. Now, 2 weeks ago, President Reagan videotaped an opening greeting for this occasion. We were in contact with the White House about 2 hours ago, and it was the president's express wishes that we use that introduction. And I might add that you might like to know that he also asked for a television set in his room so he could view this program tonight. I was, actually, the president was in such good form today, I was very tempted to call him and ask him if he had any more of those one-liners that I could use.
Johnny Carson. After the attempted assassination of President Reagan, and saying that's why we delayed the Academy Awards, we did not think it would be proper to continue on the night of the day he had been shot. And you hear the applause? That's a Hollywood crowd. A lot of Democrats in there. Johnny Carson's a Democrat. But do you hear the difference in the tenor and tone then compared to the vile slum slander from the left today. The United Nations, by the way, made a very shameful decision involving Iran. It will turn your stomach. But first, retired four-star General Jack King.
I think one other thing we should do, and if we're not doing it now, we should do it in earnest, because it's never been our objective to topple the regime. But certainly they are so weakened that they're going to be close. And the Mossad and the CIA should be working to undermine this regime and to support the Iranians wherever they are in terms of what they want to do about the current situation and enable, at some point, a final collapse of the regime itself.
Yeah, that would be a great idea. But here's what the UN did. They just appointed Iran as a vice president of Nuclear Non-Proliferation Conference. The U.S. strongly objecting, obviously. Iran selected as one of the 34 vice presidents of the UN Non-Proliferation Treaty Conference. It's held every 5 years since 1970. Iran joining in a non-proliferation when Iran is trying to have a nuclear weapon? The director general did state back in 2018, we're seriously concerned about Iran's rapid accumulation of highly enriched uranium. And in June of 2025, the UN board passed a resolution declaring Iran non-compliant. And now what do? They turn around and make Iran a vice president of non-proliferation. We are the largest single financial contributor to the UN, giving something like $13 to $18 billion annually, 22% of the UN budget. We are the major contributor. We need to start pulling some of that money back. Hell, maybe we need to kick them out of New York. Have a riddle for you. Would you let the fox into the chicken coop? That's what they're doing there, right? Absolutely. Coming up, a Fauci insider indicted hiding COVID records, plus the story behind the story. The LA riots after the verdict involving the beating of Rodney King. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Another day, must be another roofer in town. John, Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing. And the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem? He can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Spring weather has everyone sneezing, even inside their home or building. Instead of saying gesund height, call Wellington Environmental to perform air tests to determine if mold levels are too high. Gesund height is the same as saying bless you after someone sneezes, the German word meaning wishing you good health. Wellington Environmental can perform air testing that is simple, fast, and can identify issues keeping you from having good health. Wellington does the same for hospitals and nursing homes for indoor concerns. Give them a call. It's simple. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Tell Cindy, I need air sampling. They've seen it all. They can help you. Next time you hear Gesundheit, think Wellington, Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington. True comfort is something you should feel every day in your home. It's the quiet of your mornings, the consistency of your indoor temperature, the way your home feels season after season. With Renewal by Anderson, from consultation through installation, everything is handled by one experienced team, built around your home, your schedule. Our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl, built for extreme temperatures. And right now, you can save 20% off your entire project. Plus, take an additional $100 off every window and door, up to $1,000. 20% off the entire project. Flexible financing is available, but you need to call by April 30th. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAnderson.com. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAnderson.com. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as Support Dogs for Our Brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Got me waking, bone man, waking around the fire. I want a little rain or water that you won't let Jimmy start, big boy. Can't you hear me when I call?
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Well, you ain't. The Justice Department has charged David Morins, a doctor, with conspiracy, claiming he concealed federal records to counter evidence that COVID-19 may have leaked from a lab in China, all to help restore a controversial coronavirus grant. Morins, a former aide to Dr. Anthony Fauci, testified before the House's COVID Select Subcommittee nearly 2 years ago about emails he'd sent in February 2021, claiming that he'd learned to make emails disappear after he received Freedom of Information Act requests.
Ever delete or attempt to delete a federal record?
No, but let me explain why. When I came there in 1998, we were instructed to delete emails and or to move them into PST files frequently because they jammed the computer.
The Justice Department says Morins used his personal Gmail account to exchange non-public information. The indictment also claims an unnamed co-conspirator gave Morins wine for his, quote, behind-the-scenes shenanigans, then suggested he could push scientific commentary in a prominent medical journal advocating that COVID-19 had natural origins. That's a competing claim with the lab leak theory. The indictment says the co-conspirator could also provide meals at top restaurants in Paris, New York, and Washington, D.C. In April 2020, the NIH terminated that back coronavirus grant awarded to EcoHealth Alliance, who then contracted the Wuhan Institute of Virology to conduct that research in China. From the start of the pandemic, its president, Peter Daszak, worked to discredit any theory that COVID-19 had leaked from that lab.
Yeah. Liar, liar, pants on fire. And it's really not funny. The world and our nation and our children suffered a lot because of what they put in place under Dr. Fake Fauci. Of course, we're talking about not an indictment against him so far. So far. This is an indictment against one of his advisors, 78-year-old David Morins, falsifying records, concealing federal documents. He was taking stuff that would have been fully available under Federal of Information Act, FOIA, and putting them on personal emails. That's how he found out if I do it this way. But you know his explanation? Well, our regular files were being filled up with so much COVID stuff, we didn't have any other place to put it. You were trying to hide it. Now, the indictment names another unnamed, mentions another unnamed co-conspirator. Who would that be? Could be someone cooperating with the government right now and realizing if they don't continue, then they will be named as an indictment as well. Could this be the crack that we've been waiting to get back to Dr. Fake Fauci for what he put our nation through. Well, let me put it this way. Do you think this 78-year-old morons would want to go to prison for Fauci? I don't think he would. I think he will turn on him. I can't wait for that to happen. Oh, by the way, in New York City, the mayor of New York City realizes we can't operate this city on the budget we have. We need help from the state and the state taxpayers.
New York City faces a budget crisis of a historic magnitude. We inherited a deficit larger than any since the Great Recession. Years of mismanagement and chronic underbudgeting, alongside a structural imbalance between what New York City sends to the state and what we receive in return, have taken a toll. We cannot close this deficit with savings alone. We need new revenue, and we need a structural reset in our relationship with the state. Mm-hmm. That is the only way to meet our legal obligation to pass a balanced budget, and to do so without imposing a financial burden onto the backs of working people.
But you're already doing that. And Mondami knew what the state budget crisis was before he became mayor. But he said, I can take care of all of it. And now he's in there. He's going to go somewhere else and going back to the state. And Governor Hochul had finally stood beside him to endorse him. I'd love to be the fly on the wall when she hears that she is now being told by Mondami, you got to send us more money to New York City because we can't do this on our own. I would love to hear what she's saying about Mondami right now. There's nothing new. Everybody recognized what was going on in New York City. But Mondami was promising free this, free that, free that. And everybody was asking, who the hell's going to pay for it? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. We'll make sure it works out. Then these free grocery stores they're going to establish. He admitted the other day they won't have the first one open until 2029. And what's that going to do to other small businesses, mom and pop stores, bodegas, trying to earn a living by selling what groceries and items they have? Because the state-funded, or rather the New York City-funded grocery stores will be in competition with them. That Marxism, communism, is the way it always goes. We're always going to need more money. And you're not giving us enough. And of course, they've got this big tax on billionaires, as they're doing in California. And they're chasing more major corporations and the billionaires out of New York and out of California. They think this is going to make things better, right? It's not. And it is not helping the working people. In California, Mayor Bass had recognized that they cannot have a $30 an hour wage because some business, she wants it and it's in place, but businesses are firing people. We can't afford to have 10 employees if we're going to have to pay them $30 an hour. So 3, 4, maybe 6 will lose their jobs so we can pay the others the $30. And where are those folks going to go? It is the same nonsense we always get from the socialists. Give us your money. We'll take care of you. And Democrats are all about big government. FDR, when he started the Work Projects Program, it was greatly needed at that point with the Great Recession we were coming out of, trying to reestablish things. Works projects, build roads, build bridges. And it did provide jobs. Johnson wanted his great society, again using more tax dollars. And this, there was a need for some of it in some areas. But they don't settle for just taking what they need. They want more and more and more. And Bill Maher, on his own show, acknowledged, they're coming after me now.
Someone has to explain the American economy to me. I know I've said this before. I still don't get it. Last week was tax day, and as usual, because HBO is so generous, and I'm sure so will be the new owners, I paid to the government, if you add in state tax, local sales, property fees, Obamacare, probably almost 60% of what I earn. That's a lot, and I still wouldn't mind if Bernie Sanders would stop saying the rich don't pay taxes. And while I'm sure the super rich with their army of accountants and corporate loopholes get away with murder, us regular rich people pay a shit ton of taxes.
Us regular rich people. He noted, in citing numbers from a Tax Foundation analysis, the top 10% pay 72% of all federal income taxes. Then you add in all the state and local taxes. The rich are beginning to realize what we've been pushing on those poor folk, it's coming to our back door. We're going to have to do something different. And they got such wise counsel in the left. They've got people that can call out things the way they are and how they should be corrected. For instance, barista Congresswoman AOC and the latest threat she's discovered.
Rivers in rural areas were on fire because of corporations poisoning the people who lived in those areas. Poor middle-class communities getting poisoned and dumped on by corporations like Deloitte and 3M.
What?
Pouring chemicals into these places. And they want to call it a democratic priority.
Now, we can have cases where we misspeak. I don't know if she had that written out, or she didn't even know what she said, or she believes Deloitte does something to pollute the rivers. Deloitte is a tax accounting firm. They don't produce any emissions of any type, except maybe you get a statement you're going to owe more taxes because of the leftist. And Deloitte is poisoning rivers and setting them on fire, poisoning the people. That's the... Follow me closely here. The intelligence of AOC. A congresswoman. And she doesn't know what Deloitte does? I don't think it was a misstatement. I think she actually believes it's Deloitte doing it. She has no clue. Nor do many others. Coming up, our story behind the story. Some of you might recall watching this as L.A. burned during 1992. And others are still asking why. That's coming up.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
I want to share something with you. Cooking a pizza using coal creates an amazing pizza. Only one place to get it, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield. Of course, they offer a wide variety of pasta, but you just visit the website NapoliSTL.com, dine in or take out, and get ready for patio season. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Try it. You can thank me later. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. VincentsJewelers.com. VincentsJewelers.com. True comfort is something you should feel every day in your home. It's the quiet of your mornings, the consistency of your indoor temperature, the way your home feels season after season. With Renewal by Anderson, from consultation through installation, everything is handled by one experienced team, built around your home, your schedule. Our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl, built for extreme temperatures. And right now, you can save 20% off your entire project. Plus, take an additional $100 off every window and door, up to $1,000. 20% off the entire project. Flexible financing is available, but you need to call by April 30th. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAnderson.com. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAnderson.com. When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every turn. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-E-R, underlaw.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Well, I started out with one lone dollar, gambled with a man, and I won me another. Bought me a gun and I robbed my brother. I'm bad, but I don't care, boys. Gonna be a millionaire.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Ways. Now, Larry Connors with the story behind the story.
In 1991, four Los Angeles police officers were charged with assault after they were recorded brutally beating a man named Rodney King, an African-American who had been pulled over after a high-speed chase. Despite the video being presented as evidence during the trial, with virtually the entire country watching, the officers were acquitted.
When those guys were exonerated, you just thought, what's it all for? All the civil rights movement, all the black power movement, and they're gonna get away scot-free.
Tension had been rising in South Central Los Angeles for years. Poverty, joblessness, and homelessness had risen. Minorities felt that they were the victims of random racist abuse by the LAPD. The non-guilty verdict served as a catalyst, the spark that ignited the community's explosive response. That same day, at 5:25 p.m., police responded to their first call. The violence escalated quickly. Demonstrators were corralled at the LAPD headquarters, and Americans across the nation would soon be riveted to live coverage of a white truck driver being dragged from his van and nearly beaten to death.
You might recall that video. All of that started because of a verdict rendered on this date, April 29, 1992. Four white LAPD officers acquitted of assault and excessive force in beating black motorist Rodney King. Now, that was caught on video by someone else, and it became the focus of the trial, obviously. And yet the verdict came down not guilty. The verdict sparked 6 days of violent riots in L.A., 50 to 60 deaths, thousands of injuries, $1 billion in damages, mostly to the minority communities. Prior to the verdict coming down, and a week before the verdicts were reached, L.A. Police Chief Daryl Gates set aside $1 million for possible police overtime. Even so, on the last day of the trial, two-thirds of his patrol captains were out of town on a three-day training seminar. At 1 o'clock on April the 29th, the judge announced the jury had a verdict and would be read in 2 hours. That would allow reporters and police to get ready for what might happen. The LAPD said it activated its Emergency Operations Center. A commission looking at the actions later decided and described it as, yes, they did activate it. The doors were open, the lights turned on, the coffee pot plugged in, but they did nothing else. No people were called in extra at that point. At the shift change, those officers were allowed to go home. And then the violence began to break out. And in the beginning, it was started as protesting, true protesting, as one protester said.
I feel that it's a great travesty of justice. I feel that the jury in Simi Valley gave the okay to continue to abuse and oppress and suppress black people in this country. I feel that there is an undercurrent of racism and that the system is rotten to the core. And I couldn't sit in my home and just watch it on television. I had to come here and let my voice be heard.
Where are these people from? And Pat, maybe you can go and show a little bit of the protest here. Where are these people from?
I think most of them, like myself, came down as individuals. I think we just decided that we were not going to sit at home and just like couch potatoes and just watch. We have to be heard.
So these people, this is not an organized effort, you're telling me?
This is not an organized effort. These are concerned citizens. We are the people. We are Rodney King's peers.
So about 300 had gathered outside the L.A. County Courthouse protesting the verdict with shouts and yells and signs, but no violence. But it didn't take long for that to break out in South Central L.A. A member of one group that started breaking into businesses decided, in his words, we're not going to pay for what we're getting. The store owner's son hit with a beer bottle. Others broke through the glass front door, and the rioting began.
A young woman, a looter, tried to explain what has been going on in this dreadfully troubled city.
It's a way for people to vent their frustration, and then they're like targeting Korean-owned businesses and white businesses.
And yet, what we have seen seemed more a colorblind orgy of wrecking and taking. What has happened to people?
So help me God, I never seen parents teaching children to steal. If I had done that, my mom would beat the stuffings out of me if she had called me stealing. But these parents teaching their kids to steal, I can't understand it. That they ever take their kids to church, do they ever teach them to believe in Jesus? I don't believe this stuff. I just can't.
Who could believe this? Looters of every race and color, just like their victims.
22 years down the drain. I mean, can people realize what they're doing is wrong? This is not the way to overcome racism.
And merchants in neighborhoods of every color picked through the scraps the looters had left behind. And what could they say?
There was a little 9 or 10-year-old and her mother. They were walking out with baskets full of brushes and combs and stuff like that.
And what did looters call this? They said, we're going shopping.
That was an LA news report. And there was violence between not just the black those agitated by the verdict and the police, but also against other minorities, especially the Koreans that were in part of that area. And they became victims as well. That all broke out on that Wednesday of April 29, 1992. And by late afternoon, Mayor Bradley held a news conference discussing the verdicts and also talking about the violence that had happened. This he made after that first night of violence.
To the law-abiding citizens of this community, you deserve the protection. You deserve the security to walk the streets, to drive the streets, or to be safe in your homes or your shops or your stores. There were far too many involved last night in the fires and the vandalism and the looting that took place, who were there for motives, I believe, primarily one of taking advantage of a situation. Yes, they saw law-abiding citizens expressing their anger at the verdict, and they chose as an opportunity to steal, to loot, to vandalize, and indeed to kill. That we cannot and will not tolerate. We have applied a curfew that will be ongoing until this matter is completely under control. we are going to forbid the sale of ammunition or gasoline, except for placing it directly into your gas tank of your car.
And again, one of the targets in that South Central LA area was Koreatown, about a 3-square-mile neighborhood. It was being targeted. And police largely abandoned defending Koreatown, defend storefronts in the wealthy and predominantly white cities of Beverly Hills and West Hollywood. One Korean American later said, it was containment. We were trapped on one side without help. These roads are a gateway to a richer neighborhood. It can't be denied what's happening. They didn't expect police to help them, so they armed themselves and were defending their own stores, as were many black store owners that had built their own stores from scratch and made their living. And they could not understand, why are we burning and destroying our community? And at one point, Rodney King came forward and made a statement. So yes, there is more to the story, behind the story.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Do you know why I endorse Cafe Napoli? All the locations? Visit any of them and you will quickly appreciate the quality of food, service, atmosphere. So maybe I'll see you at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli Kirkwood, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C. Or maybe you'll find me at Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Now you know why I endorse Napoli. NapoliSTL.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA. Now, the end of the story behind the story.
People, I just want to say, you know, can we all get along? Can we get along?
That, of course, was Rodney King appealing for calm as the Los Angeles riots raged in the spring of 1992.
These people are angry. They have every right to be.
Politicians misjudged the anger and police were accused of standing by and letting it happen. And while the city was on fire, KJLH Radio was in the middle of it.
Stop it, people! Stop it!
You could feel the heat from the buildings by us burning.
For 4 days, DJs Andre Russell and Lon McHugh stayed on air, broadcasting every brutal moment.
I'm not the only one who feels helpless. We need to get ourselves together as a community.
You're seeing buildings being burned down, and you're seeing people running for their lives in the streets.
Get off the streets. Drive away. You'll be subject to arrest.
The predominantly black South Central part of Los Angeles was neglected, plagued with unemployment, poverty, and suffering through the crack epidemic.
Yeah, that was another issue facing all of that area. All of that started after the verdict on Wednesday, April the 29th. And as you heard Mayor Bradley state earlier, they put in a dusk to dawn curfew. By Saturday, on the fourth day, 3,500 federal troops, 2,000 soldiers of the 7th Infantry Division, 1,500 Marines from Camp Pendleton arrived to reinforce National Guard soldiers already in the city. They ended up with a total troop strength of 13,500, making L.A. the largest military occupation of any U.S. city since the 1968 Washington, D.C. riots, trying to restore order. But by then, so much damage had been done and 50 to 60 had been killed. Where were folks going to go to find any kind of refuge?
In the midst of the chaos, First AME, an African American church, provided a sanctuary.
There was a sense of despair, of hopelessness, anger, and a perception that African American life was not valued in this community.
And as of the $1 billion worth of damage in LA, half of it was Korean-owned businesses. There was the anger and the violence between black and Koreans. But there were a lot of people angry because of that verdict, finding all four white police officers not guilty. It was an overwhelmingly white jury. By Sunday, May the 3rd, Mayor Bradley was assuring the public the crisis was more or less under control. Areas became quieter. But yet later that same night, on that Sunday, Army National Guard soldiers shot and killed a motorist who they say tried to run over them at a barrier. Another case, a man was holding his wife and children hostage. As police approached, he fired at them through the door, injuring one of the officers. Eventually, Bradley lifted the entire curfew, signaling the official end of the riots and sporadic violence. But yet it did not come to an end right away. That Monday, schools, banks, and businesses reopened, but federal troops did not stand down until May 9. And remember, all of this started on April 29. The Army National Guard remained in place until May 14. In fact, some National Guard soldiers were still on duty as late as May 27, trying to make sure nothing sparked it all over again. Rodney King was awarded $3.8 million in compensatory damages to him through the city. Request for additional punitive damages denied. A lot of businesses, the people that built them, owned them, they never got any real compensation. Insurance was inadequate if carried at all. Following the state acquittal, federal charges for civil rights violations were filed. And almost a year later, two of the officers who had been found not guilty in the Los Angeles courts in a federal court were found guilty of violating Rodney King's civil rights, each sentenced to 30 months in prison. And the rebuilding and trying to reestablish relationships started anew while the fires were still smoldering. Another story behind the story tomorrow. Our second hour is still to come. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
Podcast of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
John Bill Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Bill to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 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 John Beal. There's only one place you can get pizza cooked over coals. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Of course, Napoli Brothers has a great selection of pasta dishes. Between the pizza and pasta, trust me, you will not leave hungry. Then, a few doors down, Lit Cigar Lounge. A wide variety of quality cigars, each offering a unique smoke. That cigar, some premium whiskey, all you need to do is enjoy. Lit Cigar Lounge and Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. Chesterfield Valley. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as support dogs for our brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check vincentsjewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent's Jewelers. .com. VincentsJewelers.com. Let's be candid, honest. No out-of-state law firm can represent you better than Under Law. O-N-D-E-R. Hometown roots, attorneys living right here with you and your family. When you suffer an injury because someone else was negligent, Under Law will make sure the other party takes full responsibility. You'll get full compensation, not a backroom deal worked out with some insurance companies. And of course, we're moving into the stormy season. And again, when you have a legitimate claim, you should be properly compensated. Under Law does not toy around with adjusters, investigators, lawyers trained to cheat you of what is rightfully yours. Under Law has already recovered millions for families across Missouri and Illinois. Under wins. Not just a catchy phrase, it's a fact. So I'll repeat it. Under wins. Underlaw.com. O-N-D-E-R. Underlaw.com. Wins.
This is News Talk STL.